Blog Talk Radio.
Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday at 10:30. I'm Rick Muscoso, one of your co-hosts here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. Welcome to our returning viewers and listeners out there. And to you, if you're the first time viewer or listener, welcome. We are the Bottled Business Sense Show. We broadcast every week here at 10. And we are, my co-host and I, Bill Bernard, have been broadcasting now for several years. And, you know, we came up with a great idea. And how can we help the small business owner out there and give them some tips and tricks and best practices as far as our expertise is concerned? And that is in the means of our marketing expertise, our legal expertise, and how to protect your business, run it efficiently, profitably, and you know, hopefully with some of the tips that we're offering here, you're able to do some of those things and put them into implementation for your business. So we are all over social media. If you want to take a look at some previous episodes, you can certainly go to our website at bottlebusinesssenseshow.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus. You just look us up there with that handle, and you can see what we've offered to our viewers and listeners in the past. And again, it's all free. We love doing this, and hopefully you find some value into any of the topics that we've done over the course of the last 2 years. So with that, and one other thing too, you know, we love to get feedback from our listeners and viewers out there. So please, 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 if you have something to share with us or would like to hear an upcoming topic, please drop us a line at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com. We'd be happy to entertain a topic of your interest, as well as if you're interested in being a guest on the show, let us know as well. So with that, we'll get rolling right into our episode here. And let me make my introduction here to my co-host, Mr. Bill Bernard. So how you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you. And one clarification for our viewers. I know you mentioned it was 10:30, but it is only 10 o'clock. We don't want to put them at the end of the show right off the bat, right? So it is 10 a.m., and that's when we always broadcast. And, you know, Rick's right. We do our best to make sure everybody is well-informed. And, you know, this is all free stuff. And we've said it a lot of times that free stuff can't be beat. It's not particular to your specific situation necessarily, because for that you'd have to establish a business relationship with us. But certainly you can take general principles and aim your business in the direction you want. And then if you need any help from there, you can call on either one of us and we'll be happy to lend assistance. Today, Rick, we're going to talk about clarification of the home sales tax exclusion. I had a couple of calls from in the last few days, as a matter of fact, from some financial advisors who were concerned about some of this, concerned about this topic specifically with regard to some of their clients. And I just want to say off the top that this exclusion is sometimes often misinterpreted. And to qualify for the exclusion, that is selling your home and being able to use either the $250,000 exclusion if you're single or the $500,000 exclusion if you're married, you can sell your home. And if you have profits in those amounts, you can take those profits without suffering capital gains and reporting them on your taxes. So You're not required to invest this money, to reinvest it, I should say. But you do have to buy, if you do buy another home, you can qualify for the exclusion again when you sell that home. So we're going to go into all that stuff today. As long as you satisfy the requirements, you can sell your home, buy a new one, and qualify for the exclusion again when you sell that home if you meet the qualifications, or you can just simply qualify for the exclusion one time if you decide not to buy again. So what we want to talk about off the top, Rick, is that you must own and occupy your home as the principal place of residence for at least 2 years before you sell it. You got to live in your home and occupy it for 2 years before you sell it. And this applies, interestingly enough, Rick, to a house, an apartment, a condominium, even a stock operative, which my mom lives in, as a matter of fact, or even a mobile home, as long as the mobile home is fixed to the land. It's not, I guess you'd say it's not mobile, but it's a mobile home that's fixed to the land. And you may not use this exclusion more than once every 2 years. So if anybody's copying this stuff down, I want you to understand you may not use it more than once in a 2 year period. So again, as long as you have 2 years of ownership and 2 years of use during the 5 years before you sell your home, the ownership and use can occur at different times. So you have a 5 year period of time we're looking at. You can have 2 years of ownership and 2 years of use of the home, but they don't have to be simultaneous, right? So let's say that a purchaser of a home lives in the home as a renter. That counts for use of the home for purposes of the exclusion, even though the renter may not have owned the home at the time. So you're living in your place and you're renting it out. You're living there for at least 2 years. Now, on the third year, you decide to buy it. Within that time, that five-year period of time, you can then sell that home and take advantage of the exclusion. You don't have to have the principal place of residence and the length of time that you're owning the home to be congruent. So again, let me repeat that because it's a little confusing. As long as you have at least 2 years of ownership and 2 years of use during a five-year period before you sell the home, the ownership and the use of the home can occur at different times. So again, one last time, you're renting out, you're living there for 2 years. Now you buy the home in the third year, and now you own the home, right? So they don't have to occur, the ownership and the use of the home does not have to occur simultaneously, but you must own and occupy the home as your principal place of residence for at least 2 years before you sell it. So now you own the home in the third year, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to own it for another 2 years. That puts you at 4 years. You can sell it in the fourth year and take advantage of the exclusion. So it gets a little tricky. I'd always consult my tax consultant. I would make sure you consult a lawyer, principally a real estate lawyer, if you want to reinvest, because that real estate person would be able to help you not only with the reinvestment, but if you're interested in purchasing another home, that agent could help you do that too. So your 2 years of ownership and use may occur anytime during 5 years before the date of sale. This means, for example, that you can move out of the house for up to 3 years and still qualify for the exclusion. Does that make sense? So let me say that again. You can move out of the house for 3 years. This is the opposite of the first example. So let's say now you own the home, but you move out of the home for 3 years and you rent it out. Now you come back and you live in it for 2 years. Now you can sell the home because you've lived in it for 2 years and you've owned it for 2 years and you've occupied it for 2 years as your principal place of residence, all within a five-year period. So you can then sell the home and take advantage of the exclusion. If you're single, it's $250,000. If you're married, it's $500,000. Okay?
So the key to this whole thing is that you have to have occupancy for at least 2 years within the 5-year period. Is that correct?
Right. Right. And you also have to have ownership.
Ownership of the home.
Right. Of 2 years. But they don't have to be simultaneous. Okay. Now, most people, here's what most people do. They live in their, especially real estate investors, they live in their home as their principal place of residence, and they own it for 2 years. Now, every 2 years, they sell their home. They make a profit. They move into a new house, and they get a $500,000 exclusion from capital gains if they're married, a $250,000 exclusion from capital gains if they're single. So you could see how you could build up a nest egg by doing this every 2 years if you're willing to move every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you own your house, Rick, for 2 years. You live in it for 2 years, you sell it, you make a profit, now you move on to the next house, and you do the same thing with that house. Every 2 years, you buy and sell your house. Now, for the examples I gave, that's somebody who must do it within a 5-year period. If they're not selling it every 2 years, they have to own it for 2 years, and they have to use it for 2 years as their principal place of residence. But again, it doesn't have to be simultaneous. You can own it for 2 years, occupy it for 2 years at different times, as long as you sell it within a 5-year period of time.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, short absences are permitted. So let's say you take a vacation for 1 or 2 months. That counts against your use of the home. However, if you take a sabbatical and you stay away from your home for about a year, well, then it's not going to count as using your home as your principal place of residence. You're going to have to make up that time. So you can take vacations, which is really good. Another good thing why you should document vacations, keep your plane tickets, keep your hotel reservations, show what periods of time you were gone in case you're ever called upon to say, hey, wait a minute, you were gone for a while, 2-3 months. Well, I was on vacation. If you go to a different residence and you take a sabbatical, well, obviously that's going to raise a red flag, right? So you're going to be able to, you're going to have to then show, if you're audited, that you were actually living in your home, and that would be difficult if you took a sabbatical or you took a residence somewhere else and stayed there for a lengthy period of time, and the analysis seems to put it at about a year. But I think the key is if you take a 3-4 month vacation and you take a new address, that's not typically going to be a vacation. That's why if you stay at a friend's home or if you stay at a hotel, you want to keep those receipts. You want to make sure you have that documented.
So let me throw a couple more scenarios at you. Let's say first you're in the military and you're deployed for a year. Okay. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is I'm in corporate America and I've been assigned for 12 months to work at an office overseas or out of the country or a different part of the U.S. What happens in those two situations?
Well, let's take the last one first. Typically, if you're transferred, you're going to have a new residence.
So but it's a temporary assignment.
Well, it would depend on how long you're gone. It's not a vacation, right? It's a short absence. But are you going to be able to say that it's not a residence where you're living and working? My argument would be if you're away 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months and you're at a new residence overseas, that's not going to be your primary residence. I think it could be argued by the IRS, and that would have to be tested, and you'd have to see a tax attorney or a tax specialist of some sort to really nail that down. Because it's a little bit beyond the scope of this show, but the point is it going to be considered your permanent residence, which you occupy on a daily basis? You're on a vacation, yeah, probably so. But if you take up a new residence with your job, it's going to depend on how temporary it is. My argument would be if it's a new residence and you're at a new address, it's probably not going to count for the exclusion. If you're deployed somewhere, that's a different story. You have you're deployed at no fault of your own, and you're not living at any residence. You're residing with the United States Armed Forces. So more than likely, you're going to be okay because you haven't given up your principal place of residence. One of the things that we need to point out is that, I think I mentioned it already briefly, is that there's a $500,000 exclusion for married couples. In order to get that exclusion, here are the four things that you must have to qualify for that exclusion, the $500,000 exclusion. So I would write these down. Number one, you are married and you file a joint tax return. Okay. Number two, either you or your spouse meets the ownership test. So if you're married and you own the home and it's in your name, but not your spouse's name, you're okay. Number three, both you and your spouse, however, must reside in the home as your principal place of residence, even though you may only own the home by yourself or she owns the home by herself. And number four, during the two-year period ending on the date of the sale, neither you or your spouse excluded gain from the sale of another home. In other words, you haven't done this more than once in 2 years. So let me go over those again. Number one, you're married and you file a joint return for that tax year. Number two, either you or your spouse owns the home. Three, both you and your spouse reside in the home as a principal place of residence. And four, you haven't sold a home and taken the exclusion in the 2 years prior to the time you're going to sell the home. Those are the four requirements for the maximum capital gains exclusion of $500,000. If your spouse does not satisfy all of these requirements, the exclusion can still be taken separately. So you may be able to take a $250,000 exclusion, and she may be able to take a $250,000 exclusion, because one or more of these requirements were not met. Most typically, what is that? Well, you may be living together and you're not married, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you'd want to meet the requirements by living there as your principal place of residence, and having one of you own the home. You may be able to then qualify for the $250,000 exclusion each. Now, if you do that, you may come out with $500,000, but you may not be filing a joint tax return in that instance. You're going to have to evaluate the ability to take the $250,000 exclusion on an individual basis is the real nutshell here. That's the real bottom line. Again, if either spouse does not satisfy all of the four requirements that I mentioned, the exclusion is figured separately for each spouse as if they were not married. So maybe you're not married, and then you can try to take the $250,000 exclusion if you meet the appropriate requirements. If you are not married, then you're only going to be able to utilize the $250,000 exclusion if you meet the requirements, certain requirements. So if you are married, let's do this one more time because it is a little confusing. If you are married and one of these four requirements are not met, you may try for the $250,000 exclusion because they treat you as if you weren't married. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little complicated, and it's worth saying one more time. So I've named these four elements. If you're married and you don't meet one of these four elements, then try to get the $250,000 exclusion each. If you're not married, then you're going to have to meet these exclusions separately. And more than likely, if you're not married, that's going to be very difficult because you're not going to be filing a joint return. One of you is going to own the home. Both of you may live in the home as the primary residence, and maybe you haven't utilized the exclusion in the last 2 years, but you're not filing a joint return. So if you haven't met those four exclusions, you're going to have to apply then for the $250,000 exclusion.
So would it come into play then? Let me ask you this. Would it come into play? What if your trust owns the home? Is that a consideration, or that doesn't really matter?
Well, when you place a home in a trust, it's for passing. Assuming it's a revocable trust, you're passing the home to avoid probate and for privacy reasons. whenever you sell a home, you would take it out of the trust and you put it back in your name or both of your names, whoever owns the property, because somebody doesn't want to typically buy a house from a trust unless it's already in probate. Because it's challenged, or unless it's not in a trust and it's just in probate because there was no trust. Typically, you're going to remove the house from the trust and put it back in your names, probably as joint tenants, right? And then you sell the home. So you don't have to worry about the trust selling the home in that instance, because most new buyers are not going to buy a home that's owned by a trust. So you just simply remove it from the trust. For joint owners who are not married, again, up to $250,000 of gain is tax-free for each qualifying owner. So again, you have to show that you have these elements met for the $250,000 exclusion. Either you, who own the home, meet the ownership test, or the person you're not married to meets the ownership test. Both you and the person you're not married to have lived there for 2 years. And during that 2 year period, neither of you have attempted to sell a home. Now you're not married, you're not filing a joint return, but now you can each try to get a $250,000 exclusion because you're not married. Okay. So this is somewhat complicated, but it's really not. $500,000 exclusion, you need to meet those four elements. If you're not married, then you have to look at it separately. Okay, you only get $250,000. And how you get $250,000 is element one, you meet the ownership test. Element two, you meet the use test of 2 years. And three, you haven't tried to sell a home and take capital gains exclusion of $250,000 within the 2 years prior. Okay. So think of it this way. If you're going to get 250 versus 500,000, are you married and filing a joint return for that taxable year? If you're not, then look at the remaining three elements and decide if you can get the $250,000 exclusion. Now, this is important, and this is a question I'm asked by, was asked specifically by a financial advisor last week. If my spouse dies during a taxable year, can I take a $500,000 exclusion? Well, if your spouse dies and you sell your home, you qualify for the $500,000 exclusion if the sale occurs within 2 years from the date of death. So your spouse dies in July of 2014, you have to sell that home by July 2016 in order to take the $500,000 exclusion. Okay? So these are things that are called into play oftentimes when people want to be able to take capital gains without having to pay taxes on it, obviously. But a lot of times it's used for real estate investors. You know, real estate investors just don't buy other properties. Sometimes they buy properties for themselves. I know a guy who buys a home every 2 years and he moves his family. What a hassle sometimes, right? You think, but you move the family every 2 years, you get a new home. They live in the home for 2 years. They have not sold a home in that 2 years. And they own the home for 2 years. Now they sell it and make five. And if they make over $500,000 or even over $500,000, they take a $500,000 exclusion. They don't have to pay taxes on the first $500,000 profit. Now they move into a new home for the next 2 years, and they do the same thing every 2 years, and they keep moving. And so you can imagine if you're making $500,000 in profit, and you don't, and you're not taxed on it every 2 years, you're making some money, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's tax-free money, right? Now, unfortunately, this doesn't work for businesses. And while we are the Bottled Business Sense show, I think we're also obligated to try to tell our business entrepreneurs how to be, well, real estate entrepreneurs too. You can be a real estate entrepreneur without ever practicing real estate by simply selling your home every 2 years and moving into a new one. And of course, that assumes, right, that your house is not underwater and that you have a profit to make.
Yeah, right.
So, again, let's recap. This is a relatively short show, but I wanted to address this issue. To take a $500,000 exclusion, four elements must be met. You must be married and filing a joint return for that taxable year that you sell your home. Number two, either you or your spouse owns the home. Number three, both you and your spouse have lived in that home for 2 years as a principal place of residency. And number four, during that two-year period, you have not tried to sell another home. What happens, Rick, if you have a vacation home?
I would assume, based on your guidelines, it doesn't come into play in this set.
Right, you're going to have to move into that second home and start the process of making that your principal place of residency, right?
Yeah, but then the clock starts running when you move in and make that your primary home, right?
That's right. And one of you are going to have to own it, and you're going to have to be married and file a joint return in that taxable year, and you can have sold your first home within that two-year period. The 2 years starts brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're single, you get a $250,000 exclusion. You've got to live in the home for 2 years as a principal place of residency. Number two, you must own the home for 2 years. And during that two-year period, you cannot have sold another home and used the exclusion of $250,000. So you've got the single exclusion and the joint exclusion that you can utilize for tax purposes.
So I know there's some people out there that, let's say they're retired and now they're in a different financial situation where they're free to do what they want and choose and explore. And say let's say they don't own a home, but based on your description here, I'm guessing it probably doesn't qualify. If they had, let's say they had a really nice motor coach that they drive all around the country, that does not come in, and they live in that thing, right? That's really their only place of residence.
Yeah, they're not going to make it, because while that home is mobile, it's not fixed to land, right? You know what I mean when I say a mobile home fixed to land. You see mobile home communities all over the place, especially here in Southern California, right? You drive in and it's just like instead of seeing a bunch of homes, you see a bunch of mobile homes that are mobile from the standpoint that they can be lifted up and moved at some time, but they're affixed to the land. Okay. And that's the real issue. You affix it to the land wherever you go. You don't put it on a chassis and drive around the country in it.
So I guess even though you didn't say it, would that also apply to somebody whose residence is on a boat?
Well, it's not affixed to land, right? So yeah, that would not. Now, interestingly enough, and I can't candidly answer this question, but I think I mentioned to you a while back that there's there have been some new advertisements for homes selling anywhere between $200,000 to $500,000 that are built on the ocean. These new modern homes that are going to be built on the ocean, so people can travel around in their homes on the ocean, just like they're on a cruise ship. And these homes will be built on the ocean. They'll be 2,000 to 3,000 square feet, and they'll have ways of moving. I'm not sure whether it's going to be how it's going to be powered. I would assume some water power would be used in some fashion, but these homes will now be on the ocean and they'll be able to travel around wherever they want to go. And that will be their primary place of residence. Something tells me the IRS is not going to look very kindly on that. But again, I'm not a tax attorney. I don't profess to be, and that would be something you'd have to take up with a tax attorney. As far as what I can tell you now is, these things aren't done yet, so I can feel fairly comfortable in saying that the exclusion does not apply to them now. When they're operating, then whether that will be conducive to an IRS change of some sort, that's anybody's guess.
Mm.
So you know, this is what we face in terms of making some money. And, you know, look, this could be a whole new business for an entrepreneur. And I use the word business loosely. This is, could be something where somebody makes some extra money and creates a nest egg and a retirement for their business, for themselves, for their family, I should say, when they retire from their business. Like I said, I know a guy who does this, and I'd say he's probably worth at least $4 or $5 million. He's probably worth more than that, but he's worth that much just from buying and selling homes every 2 years. Now, there was a layoff for him during the crunch between 08 and, you know, 2014 or so. But now that things are coming back, and I haven't checked with him, but I'm sure, knowing him, he's back in the game.
Awesome. Well, great. So, yeah, great information, Bill. I mean, I love your thought on this being an investment tool, at least an option for investing, if that's your kind of thing, and you don't mind moving every couple of years. That would be this might be a consideration for you. So
think about it, Rick. Somebody moves you, right? You have people come in and move you. You could move down the block. Or you could move to the next town. So you have somebody pack you up and you pay for it. The profit you're going to make from the sale of the home is more than going to cover that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're willing to do this and you have the wherewithal to be able to say, you know what, I'm just going to do this every 2 years. You know, it's an interesting prospect for certain.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyway, I hope our listeners and viewers at least got the basics of this, and at least understand it from the standpoint of being able to I like to look at it as a potential retirement tool. It's another way besides a 401k or a SEP IRA or any other type of stock purchase or real estate investment. It's another way of making money and building up your portfolio, right? Your retirement assets.
Yeah. I don't know if my wife would be up for moving every 2 years, but you know, hey, if the investment's there and it makes sense, then why not, right?
That's the typical number one retort that you get to this sort of a situation. People, why don't people take advantage of this? Why do we have this exclusion? Because most people know, including the IRS, that most of the country is not going to, you know, want to pick up and move every 2 years. You have the added factor too that a lot of people, they move into their dream home or a place they like and they love it. They don't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy I mentioned to you that I was thinking of, here's his philosophy. And you really have to have this sort of a mindset if you're going to do this. This is interesting. His philosophy is, a home is a home. I can live anywhere. I want to make the money. I want the money for my retirement. I don't, you know, as long as I'm not living somewhere that, you know, in a some sort of a rundown home or something like that, I don't, you know, I can find another nice home on a hill overlooking the ocean or another nice home in a cul-de-sac or wherever it is, just as well as I can when I found this home. And that's why I'm going to sell it. And if you have to have that sort of a mindset, because you're right. A lot of families are not going to want to just pick up and move every 2 years.
Right. Well, great. This has been great information. If you have any questions or need clarity on some of this stuff, you can certainly start with Bill. And then if it's beyond the scope of how he can help you in regards to your tax situation, then obviously you want to contact your tax professional or somebody versed that can help you out more specifically in your situation.
And this this is a good example, Rick, of why we always say have a tax accountant on your team, in addition to an attorney, and of course a marketing individual. These things come into play when you least expect it, or if you're when you do expect it, even when you're planning for it. And I can see that you were quite excited by this show, Rick. But it's all kidding aside, I can understand why, because you have the attitude based on discussions with your family. And again, you're in the majority. Most people don't think of, well, I want to get up and do this every 2 years. But think of it this way. Don't do it every 2 years. this is valuable for you to understand when you do sell your home, even if it's only once, right?
Right, right.
I mean, don't you want to take a $500,000 exclusion or a $250,000 exclusion and not pay taxes on it if you can? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't take a brain trust to figure that out. So in any event, I hope somebody has gotten something out of this, and I hope that this helps clarify things. It's a bit complicated, but remember the four rules that I set down, and hopefully you wrote them down, and that'll lead you in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Bill. That was awesome. Please reach out to Bill at the contact information below this episode here, and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction, hopefully answer some general questions if you have any in regards to this topic today. So thanks again for the info, Bill. As always, you are you're a wealth of information when it comes to helping out our individual and business owners out there. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone again next week. Same time, same channel, here on the Bottled Business Sense Show on Tuesday at 10 a.m. All right. Have a great day, everyone.
Have a great week, everybody. Be prosperous. Bye-bye now.